You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Philip Galanis joins us now, just in time for Valentine's Day, to offer advice on how to navigate through the complexities of relationships and romance. He is the author of the Social Cues advice column for the Style section of the Sunday New York Times, and his latest book is Social Cues, How to Survive the Quirks, Quandaries, and Quagmires of Today. He's here to discuss relationship issues ranging from how to admit your feelings and start a relationship to how to break up without saying, it's not you, it's me, or how not to break up. Welcome back to our show, Philip.
Thank you, Leonard. Happy to be here.
We also invite calls from our listeners who need advice. You can leave a question on our show page at WNYC.org or give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And you don't have to give your real name if this is something that you're concerned of. In fact, you could disguise your voice as well,
exactly,
if you wish.
And if you're a real louse, you could sign everyone Leonard and see. We will just think very poorly of our host by the time this hour is over.
Do you get asked a lot of questions about relationships?
Is that
the majority?
If it's not the majority, it's a close tie with family.
Well, that's relationships, too.
I think you meant romantic relationships. But I would say from the day after New Year's Day to now is an outpouring of Valentine's Day-related questions that are really, of course, going to the underlying relationship. Something you may not be aware of, because I was not aware of until I started this column, there is a blackout window for when you may and may not break up with someone and be a good guy or a good girl and, you know, walk with your head held high. Like, you wouldn't break up with someone on Christmas Eve.
Or New Year's Eve.
And in that period. Well, in the last week, I bet I have gotten five separate questions from men and women who say, okay, I don't know how it got away from me, but it got away from me. I meant to do it on January 2nd, but now it's February 5th. Now it's February 10th. May I dump him? May I dump her? And it is...
And what do you answer?
It's a wonderful thing. Well, you know, who wants to be the schmuck who's sitting across from a guy at dinner who wants to break up with you? I think if it's time to break up, it's time to break up. But it shouldn't have anything to do with Valentine's Day.
I would assume still this is a difficult thing to give advice about because no two couples are alike.
Absolutely.
But are the problems similar, a la Tolstoy?
Yeah, of course. And you know something? If you look at the questions, the relationship questions that come in, they are, and I print them out. I'm obsessive about printing them out and categorizing them and relooking at them and telling us what they tell us about ourselves. So many of them have to do with gift giving. And I don't know exactly what that is, if that's a stand-in for how deeply I care about you. A guy from a letter from a girlfriend this weekend whose boyfriend said to her on Thursday, you know, I'd like to set a $20 limit on our Valentine's Day present to each other. And I thought, well, what a way to like pour cold water over. I mean, you could probably find something magnificently sentimental. You'd go to the Strand and buy a first edition of something that you know she loves for $5.99, and you wouldn't have had to be such a dirtbag. But, you know...
Well, it also says I don't value you all that highly.
Absolutely.
A listener left this question on our show page along these lines. What do you do with a gentleman who gives a dozen red roses each Valentine's Day, even though the lady has often expressed at other times, not to be rude, that she really dislikes roses and, in fact, is mildly allergic to them?
Well, my word. Someone's not listening very closely, are they? I think in that case, you know, when you accept the roses and you thank him for the gift, you could remind him yet again. But I think, there are clues in everything we do and there are no mistakes. And this guy is on a kind of autopilot in his relationship with you. at least when it comes to the florist. You know, a lot of questions I get go precisely to flowers and chocolates and lingerie. And people say, I am so sick of giving lame, cliched gifts. And it goes to our desire to be individuals. Like, we're asked to think a certain way about a certain day in February just because it's Valentine's Day.
And then there's the other side, getting the chocolates. Let's say you really don't want to have the added sugar. Or you don't like chocolate.
Exactly.
Do you ever wish that sometimes you could talk to the letter writers to clear up a few details?
Oh, so often.
We have that advantage here, of
you
course, because we're on
do.
Radio. And we are inviting people to call us at 212-433-9692. But what happens? You get this letter, and somebody is giving you this complicated situation, and you think, but why don't you just such and such? And you can't ask the person that question.
And you can't. And you can't say, well, have you also mm-hmm. tried X?
Wheaties.
Like, for instance, a tweet that came in over the weekend when I was publicizing my appearance here with you, said, please answer this question. I asked a woman in my office to go out with me, and she said no, but a number of things that have happened in the intervening period since she said no, and maybe she'd say yes now. Is it harassing if I ask her again? But of course I want to know, what are those things? Did it mean like she didn't turn around and run down the corridor in the opposite direction? Did she not, you know, look like she was vaguely nauseated when she saw you in the elevator? Or did she, you know, ask if you'd maybe be interested in going to see Hugo with her some Friday night? I mean, it's without knowing the context, it's very hard to know.
She could have been going through a rough time at the moment that he asked her, but that could be resolved.
And how many times have you reached out to what you know is a safe bet when you are having like a low self-esteem January, maybe?
Megan asks, what's the best way for a couple to thrive when one partner is an extrovert and the other is an introvert without developing resentment? One partner needs more alone time and the other wants more togetherness. I suspect Megan is the one who wants the more alone time.
You do?
That was written.
I wonder. Tell us. Tweet again, Megan. Write us again, because I would have thought just the opposite,
okay, well,
strangely.
Maybe I'm wrong.
But you know something? I think that you can do – I think – everything about a successful relationship over the long term is going to be about compromise, Megan. So I don't know if your boyfriend or girlfriend or you need 6 nights a week alone, or if you need, you know, 3 or 4 nights a week alone. But the best relationships are when we are willing to hammer out these rough spots. I mean, one of the things that I see most that one of the related subjects that comes up often when we talk about relationships, Leonard, is dating websites. And that's sort of like a kind of romance / sexual tourism, because people have opportunities to go out with millions of different people. And it's very exciting. It's a supermarket. It's a Trader Joe's of men and women for you to choose from. And often in these relationships, what I hear, and of course, I'm only hearing about the bad things generally, so maybe there are lots of people having a different experience. They just run at the first tiny sense of trouble because there are 900,000 other ladies that they can ask out. So I hope, Megan, that you can – I'm certain that there must be an amount of time that you can live with and he can live with that will work for both of you. And Leonard and I will help you do it right now if you call us up.
You recently advised people not to round down their age when they're putting out the information online. There's also the matter of what you say about yourself online. So many people say they like walks on the beach, and they like sunsets, and they like laughing and having a good time. Who doesn't?
Yeah. Last night I was having dinner with my best friend, who is she's a perennial singleton, and she's just joined a dating site called Nerve.com, and they asked her in her profile, who are the three people you would take advice from? And she knew that the people she listed would be a signal to the women and men who would see this thing about what kind of person she was. So she thought, well, not Hillary Clinton, because that's just a lightning rod and too many people might just hate me for that. And she thought, how about Michelle Obama, but like the real Michelle Obama, not the fake, like, cheerleading her husband and, oh, aw shucks, I'm just a mom kind of. But the real Obama, Mrs. Obama, I sense I would love to take advice from. But not the one who's talking to Gail King.
Sometimes I think her husband should take more advice from her.
I do too. Lots of times. And not to mention from Hillary Clinton. but so she came up with lists of people who were so just like versions of mm-hmm. Walk on the Beach. Like, yeah, well, who isn't going to take advice from that person, Mother Teresa, who's not going to take advice from, come up with somebody really a little bit more acid, like, you know, down market too, like a real housewife of New York.
Let's go to some of our calls. Beth, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay. Beth from Westport, Connecticut.
Yes.
Connecticut. We're talking about connecting.
Yes, I am calling because I have a birthday that falls the day after Valentine's Day.
Oh,
oh,
my,
like one of those people whose birthday's on Christmas.
Oh, no. You get lots of cheap chocolate.
I know, and my husband's birthday is New Year's Eve, so we both have awful birthdays. And there's always like a sense of disappointment, I guess. Like, he just doesn't seem to know how to acknowledge both, you know, Valentine's Day and a birthday that's the next day. So it's always a bone of contention because he sometimes acknowledges one and not the other. And there's just always this feeling of disappointment somewhere along the line.
That's really interesting. Why don't you suggest this to him, if you can suggest it in a nice way? Why don't you suggest that the birthday gift be something that is exclusively for you, something that you, that he's taken the time to figure out that you would like, and then make the Valentine's gift about something that you could do together as a couple, going to the theater, going to a concert, going to a ball game if you're that kind, and then you're celebrating your relationship on the day of, on Valentine's Day, and you the day after Valentine's Day.
Well, it's a good idea because, you know what? We do that every year for our anniversary, and there's never any tension surrounding
never.
Our anniversary.
Experiential gifts are the best ones of all.
Beth, thank you so much for calling us.
Thank you.
Thanks, okay. Beth.
Irene from Long Island, you're on the air.
Hello. How are you?
Okay. What about you?
You're a very young-sounding Irene. I think of Irene as an older woman's
name.
It's
a family name.
Okay.
Philip, I just wanted to say your column is the highlight of my week, and I really love it. I'm so glad to hear you on the show.
Well, Irene, I love you. Will you be my Valentine?
I will be your Valentine.
Thank you.
I'm calling to talk about, you said the $20 gift limit for Valentine's Day is unromantic and kind of dirtbaggy, but that's what my fiancé and I do because we're both students, so.
Well, no.
It shouldn't bother people if they both agree to it.
No, the fact that you two have wisely figured out that for your budget, that's what works is great. But you know, I think in this situation, it was the girlfriend was reporting also that the husband was like earned six figures a year and, or not husband, boyfriend. And she was sort of saying, what should I be reading anything into his, you know, affection for me? But, you know, people on budgets have to be very creative and smart. And I hope you came up with something really great for him for Valentine's Day.
Yes, I try and be very creative. And I also have a solution to the red rose conundrum you were talking about earlier.
Oh, good.
I'm plagued with red roses on every holiday, and I hate them. So the other day I came home from class, and I told my fiancé, oh, I gave some love advice today in my legal writing class. And he said, what are you talking about, giving love advice in your law school classes? And I said, oh, well, I told the guys that, you know, red roses on Valentine's Day is amateur hour. They should just go to the local Whole Foods or natural food store, and they have the best flowers, and they'll find the best flowers there. And he's like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, that's what I told them, you know? So it was kind of a way for me to tell him, like, cut it with the red roses without being a jerk about it.
KG Irene, you're going to be in the CIA before we know it.
I know. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. appreciate the advice you're giving out today. It's really helpful.
And thank you for calling us. We'll take a little break, and we'll come back with more of your calls. Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. My guest is Philip Galanis, who writes the Social Cues column for the Sunday New York Times in the style section. And his latest book is called Social Cues, How to Survive the Quirks, Quandaries, and Quagmires of Today. We're back with Philip Galanis and your calls to 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or you can leave a comment on our show page. We're talking about relationships and romance in advance of Valentine's Day. But it's always good to talk about it because this is really a 365-day matter. And this year, 366-day. Philip Galanis is the writes the advice column for the style section in the New York Times called Social Cues. His book is also called Social Cues, How to Survive the Quirks, Quandaries, and Quagmires of Today. And you asked Megan, who had that question about the extrovert and introvert, to write in, and she has.
Thank you, Megan.
She left another clarifying comment. She said, we live together. I'd love more quality togetherness. Okay, you were right. My partner communicates that he feels pressure to do things together. I'm not certain how to create enough space for him to get the alone time that he desires. At the same time, I feel like I'm not doing all the things I want to do because I'm waiting for him to have the energy for it.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't sound, I've got to tell you, that sounds a lot worse than the initial posting because, you know, spending time with our partners is a very big part of a healthy relationship, Megan. So make sure that this is not just about a brush. This is not feeling like a brush off to you. And if it is, maybe it's time to raise that with him.
I'm always reluctant to say to people, well, maybe this relationship isn't working. But if you are so incompatible in such an important way, isn't that something that has to be worked out before you proceed?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are, but I mean, lots of things. I can remember when I was a kid in the 70s, it was just, I can remember the summer of the Watergate hearings, and my dad was a very staunch Republican, and my mom was a very committed Democrat.
Did they know this before they got married?
They knew this before they got married, and they, they got married in the 60s, and for a long time, they were able to make it kind of a jokey thing. But I can remember Nixon as a real wedge in their relationship, and from something as, you know, having nothing to do with them to something as important as how many nights a week is he really committing to check in with you and spend time with you and feel how you're feeling. I mean, if I didn't have my partner to talk to, you know, every night about the minutia that drives me crazy during the day, I don't know, I'd be worse off. And I want you to have as much access to this guy as possible. Now, that doesn't mean 24/7. It might mean that after he comes home for an hour, he, you know, gets to go into the living room and read the paper quietly and segue into, you know, a different kind of head. But he's got to be there if there's much chance, if you need that, Megan.
And a lot of couples, that's really an important thing, saying,
huge.
Here's what happened at the office today. Oh, this is what happened to me when I was in school. And then you share these things. You don't necessarily have to get advice from the other person, but you have to tell somebody what's going on in your head or else you go crazy.
It's so important. I mean, it's the most important thing we do.
Now, I was mentioning earlier that there's always a problem when you feel that a friend is with somebody who they probably shouldn't be with, getting married or even just moving in together. So what's your advice about giving relationship advice to friends? For example, if a friend seems to be madly in love with someone everyone else finds quite difficult to take.
Well, I had a question like this in my column this week. A wife wanted to give her husband a party for a very special event. He didn't say what the event was, but there was a man that the guest of honor said under no circumstances may he come.
He wrote you the letter.
He wrote me the letter. And
he said, my wife doesn't disagree with me. So clearly the man had done something pretty fiendish to him. But the wife of this fiendish man happens to be the closest, dearest friend of the party giver. What to do? What to do? And I said that in my own relationship, if it were a person who my boyfriend felt so close with that inviting him or her not inviting her would be a diss, I couldn't exclude the guy no matter how much I disliked him.
Just say hi and move on. There are other people at the table.
I got at least 50 emails over the weekend saying that was the worst advice they'd ever heard and that the right solution would be to not give the guy a party if you could not invite the husband. And I think that is such an overreaction
to hard.
It. Yeah, that is really, really hard. And but it's true. Getting involved in the love lives of others is a very messy business
and
not to be done lightly.
And some people think honesty is the best policy, but I suspect you think that diplomacy is the best policy.
I absolutely think diplomacy is the best policy because the number of times a friend will say, no, tell you a story about his boyfriend as the cast as the worst dirtbag in the history of life. And then 2 months and you just chime in a little bit and 2 months later they're back together again. It leaves you in an awfully awkward position.
My guest is Philip Galanis. He writes a social cues advice column for the style section of the Sunday New York Times. You also write some other things in the Times?
I write some other things in the Times, and I also write fiction. And I have found that this social cues business has really sparked some creative juices.
I'll bet.
Because there are really thousands of people telling you amazing things that you could not possibly make up.
Well, if you want to tell us some things, our number here is 212-433-9692. You can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. And let's go to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, we're fine. What about you?
I have a question. I'm doing okay, but I want to make sure that I'm doing something correctly. I am in a new situation with someone who doesn't necessarily communicate the way that I would like in a consistent manner, and I'm wondering if there is a gentle, non-naggy way to nudge communication and allow him to know that it's important.
What do you mean by communication, Jennifer? You mean he doesn't tell you that he's not going to be able to see you for 3 days? Or
No, it's kind of a, I wake up, the day will go by, I won't hear from him for 2 days, and then like the third day it's, hey, I'm thinking about you, versus a consistent, hey, I'm thinking about you
right.
kind of deal. And I definitely don't want to be that girl that's like, you don't call, you don't text, you don't email, because I would hate to get that type of feedback from someone that I was with.
Here's a question for you. Does the calling, when the third day comes around and he calls and says or texts and says, I'm thinking of you, mm-hmm. Does he expect that you're going to get together with him right away?
That I don't believe that's the expectation, no.
I kind of
feel like maybe his guilt flag flew up and he's like, oh, I haven't talked to her in a little while or I haven't checked in a bit.
Right.
Eh.
I mean, I think that you have to... you're going to have to communicate with him about it, but I don't think it has to be nagging. It has to be, you know, I don't know how new it is, but
very new, less than a month.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, good. Then you have you can just put your feet up and rest because this is going to play out the way it is going to play out. And a month is not near, if this were a year in, I would say, oh, you've got a real problem here because he's not as committed as you. It sounds like you just might be a little more certain that this is somebody you want to spend some more time with.
Okay.
And it sounds like he might be just trying to figure this out.
Understood.
Okay, thank you for calling us.
Thank you very much.
James from Stamford, Connecticut. Hi, you're on the air. A lot of calls from Stamford.
Hi,
people having
you?
Problems in Stamford.
I like Stamford.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Hey, James, what's up?
Hey, I've got a quick question. My scenario for you. My wife and I, we've been married for 4 years. We own our own business together. Our business office is at our house, and we also do work off-site, you know, away from the office, and we're together from the second we wake up. We have a 15-month-old as well, but so we wake up to the baby, taking care of the baby together, and then our day starts, you know, in the office together, and then when we go off-site to meetings or events or anything, we're together. And
traveling. So you get about 6 seconds apart.
My question, you know, and to be honest with you, I can say this, and she would probably agree with me if she was here, that we're totally confident that we can do it, and we do it, and we do it really well, and we work really well together. We actually met working, and what do you talk about at the end of the day? You don't, like I heard you say, you know, you have someone to talk about the minutiae of your day at the end of the day, but our days are together. There is no daytime talk to talk about at the end of the day.
Well, it sounds to me, James, like the thing that you two need to do together at the end of the day is just decompress together and have a glass of red wine and feel no compunction to say anything at all. Now, you're probably not talking about, you know, during the day, you might not talk about the fact that you felt undercut by something she said at a meeting, or she felt a little slighted by something where you jumped on her line at a presentation. So maybe that's a time where that kind of quality stuff can come up. But geez, the last thing I would worry about you need to worry about is, you know, finding more time to communicate.
Although it sounds like you've worked things out, which is pretty good.
One thing I'll tell you, a really good friend of mine, a pair of really good friends of mine are in a relationship a lot like yours, James. And one of the things that they've found is really terrific for the relationship is for a night a week for each of them to go off and do something else. He plays tennis. He joined a tennis league. She goes out to a reading group, and you get like a little break from each other, which might be good for you two in the long term.
Yeah, talked about and tried to work that. It's just hard with the baby.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling us.
That's the other one, but we're working on it.
Thank you so much for calling us.
Good luck.
You mentioned earlier that somebody was worried about harassing a woman he had been rejected by earlier. When you're attracted to someone but not sure that the feelings are reciprocated, what are some of the good ways to try to suss out the
situation? Go slow. I think going so slowly that you almost think you're not doing anything at all is the best way to sort it out, so that if 4 o'clock is your coffee time when you're in the office and you offer to get her a coffee and see if she says yes or no. And if she does say yes, when you bring it back, is she open to your sitting around and drinking it with her and chatting and shooting the breeze? And if you're getting those kinds of signals, maybe you can have lunch together one day.
What about the other way around? For a woman, it's long been considered a no-no to make the first move. Is that still the case?
Oh, I don't think that's the case. I know that there are books like The Rules and old-fashioned-y things like, you know, on Sex and the City, the man must never feel emasculated by your asking him out.
He usually feels complimented.
I have never heard of a man in my life who didn't feel incredibly elated by the fact that he was appreciated by somebody for some reason or other, you know?
Now, there's a tricky thing about paying the bill on an early date also. Especially the first date. You have a good rule?
Can I tell you? My rule came under, I would say that this, there have been like 3 or 4 letters that I've written that have gotten so much angry response that they are, you know, imprinted deeply. And I said that I thought there was absolutely no reason on an early date for people people who are equally sort of set up to pay. There was no reason on an early date not to share the bill, or if not, then to say take turns. Like, I'll do this one, Leonard, and you'll do next one. Mm-hmm. And people, it was generally, I would say, men and women of a certain age who said that they thought that that was going to really mean the end of civilization as we knew it.
Because a man has to pay.
And yeah, a woman who wants to feel like a woman, whatever, that sounded like a perfume commercial, but a woman who wants to feel like a woman wants to have free food.
I guess. We go now to Jane. Hi, Jane. You're on the air.
Hi. I had a kind of related question. I'm in the early stages of a relationship, and I make a decent amount more money than my boyfriend. And sometimes he's okay with it, but every once in a while it comes up like, oh, we can't do this. I spent too much money. And I'm totally okay paying for, you know, more than my share. And I just want to know ways to approach this. And I know it's a common problem with a lot of women I know.
I think it is a really common problem. And I think if you read the statistics that keep appearing in the newspaper about the number of bachelor's degrees, the number of graduate degrees that women are getting compared to men, I think it's going to be a bigger, bigger problem. Rather than just picking up the slack that he can't afford, I think it might be smarter, Jane, early on to make it so that you're living inside of your combined budget. So in other words, if you can afford to eat at Per Se two nights in a row and he can't, don't eat there the second night in a row. So because it even though it is a bow to a kind of insecurity that's silly, it's real. And there's no reason to make somebody feel less than when you can probably enjoy eating at the Chinese joint around the corner, too.
Well, yeah, go to Per Se one night in the Shake Shack the next night.
Pardon?
The Per Se one night, Shake Shack the next.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm saying it's even like a lower level than that. I think I'm doing my part. So at some point, I just have to say, like, you know, make him understand that this is okay. I don't mind.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling us.
It's very good that, I mean, that you're being upfront about it. I had a letter a few months ago from a woman who lied. She was in your position and she kept lying and pretending she was like an administrative assistant when in fact she was like running the department in the company.
We have very little time, but we wanted to squeeze Louise from Brooklyn in. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Leonard. How are you?
I'm okay.
Thanks for giving me a chance. I just wanted to end on a positive note. I was telling your staff member that last year my husband came home with a box of chocolate, and I really don't eat chocolate. I have to really be in the mood for it. So I said to him, look, here, you take it and you enjoy it. I said, next time I'd enjoy like a container of apricots or figs or dates. So what does he do now throughout the year whenever he passes a fruit store where he can get these items? He brings them home for me. And my point is this. I was able to communicate what I had to say, and he listened. He heard me. And as a result, it brings me back to Valentine's Day every time he does this. To me, it's a real act of kindness and love, and it doesn't have to be expensive. He heard me.
You're the winner on Wheel of Fortune, Lorraine. Congratulations.
But Louise.
Louise, sorry.
But Louise is saying communicate, and that's great.
She knocked it out of the park.
But not as we've heard in some of the situations, people don't listen, so that's when the problems arise.
And I think it's really, really sweet that he's thinking of you when he passes the, you know, the bodega. That's a great story.
Her.
He loves her.
Philip Galanis writes the Social Cues advice column for the Style section of the Sunday New York Times. His book, Social Cues, How to Survive the Quirks, Quandaries, and Quagmires of Today. Thank you all who have called. Sorry we couldn't get to all the calls. But Philip, we'll have you back sometime.
Try to keep me away, Leonard.